We're back to the Neil Haley Show here on the Caregiver Dave celebrity segment. And I'm excited to welcome the program, Caregiver Dave. Dave, how are you? I like, we just continue to have interesting guests. But when I read this guy's accolades, I was absolutely blown away. And I mean, I know the song that we're going to be talking about, but we're going to be talking about much more. So go ahead and introduce our guest.
DJ, my gosh, I grew up with this guy. 70 million albums worldwide, five-time Grammy Hall of Fame. I mean, I can go on and on, but let me just introduce BJ Thomas. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing? Glad to be here.
Thank you for the memories. Thank you for everything. Who is BJ Thomas, and why were you put on this earth, do you feel like? I mean, that seems like a dumb question because we all know the answer, but I want to hear you say it.
Well, yeah, you know, I always had the desire to sing, and ever since I was like a tyke, a little guy. But who I am is I'm just a guy like you, and I'm a husband and a father, and that's what I was put here for. But there's a lot of me in my music now after all these years. So that's just something I always had a burning desire to do, and. Even when I got in my first, we formed our first band, I had never really even thought through the fact that I was going to have to get up in front of maybe a lot of people and sing. And so I never even thought about that. And maybe I was just in denial, but when that first gig, when I went out and there were all these people, I had to start thinking about it and learning how to do it, you know.
Did you always think, BJ, that when you were going to be this famous?
No, you know, we had the band together. We admired a band called The Traits, Roy Head and The Traits, and we wanted to have a band like them. So we got the band together in 1958, and we would just dream that, hey, maybe one day we'll have a hit record. But, you know, we knew we would never, you know, we knew we weren't going to ever have a hit record, but it was just a dream. And, sure enough, after a certain number of years, we did. I had my first hit in '65, and I went out on the road. My first gig was with James Brown. I went out and toured with James Brown for a couple of weeks because they thought I was a black singer. They thought I was an R&B singer, and which was great with me because those guys were my heroes: Ray Charles and Bobby Bland and Jackie Wilson and those guys. So anyway, I worked with most of the great R&B singers for about 3 or 4 years, and then, you know, eventually ended up with Dick Clark and kind of got my identity straight, you know.
So what was your first hit?
It was a Hank Williams song, "I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry." It was a million seller for me in 1966. So yeah.
You're probably the most well-known for "Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head" because of the movie. How did that come about?
Yeah, well, you know, I was recording in Memphis, Tennessee, and I was doing good in Memphis. I was making some hit records, and I just recorded "Hooked on a Feeling," and that was a big record for me. And the label came to me and said, "BJ, would you and Gloria, we just got married. They said, would you and Gloria move to New York City?" And she said, "If you'll move up to New York, I think I can get you a session and a song with the Burt Bacharach and Hal David." Wow. So, you know, that sounded really good to me. And so we moved up, and I started kind of, you know, going by Mr. Bacharach's apartment once or twice a week. And we would, you know, look at songs and go over songs. And then, you know, before in just a couple of months, the Butch Cassidy thing came up, the bicycle scene. And, you know, he gave me a shot to do it. And, you know, wow.
So where did the song come from? Did you already have it? Or did somebody write it for you? Or was it?
Yeah, no. Burt Bacharach composed the music, and he was doing the soundtrack and the score for Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. And he had an idea. He just kept thinking raindrops. And so Hal David was the guy that wrote the lyrics. And he's a guy that just wrote from his heart. And anyway, he took the raindrops and wrote the song. And, of course, they put it with the the bicycle scene, Paul Newman and Catherine Ross riding the bicycle as Butch Cassidy. And, you know, it just was a beautiful thing. I went out to California. We did the thing for the bicycle scene. And then we recut the song about 6 weeks later. And that became the number one record.
Wow.
Do you write your own songs?
You know, I write very little. That's probably the big shortcoming in my career. And probably the reason I've been kind of quiet for the last few years is I don't write like I should. But I am right now, I'm writing and, trying to come up with some stuff. I had a session in Muscle Shoals, Alabama on the 15th of this month. And I had to, of course, postpone that and set it back a little bit. But, yeah, it's motivated me to write, but I haven't written that much over my career.
So let's talk a little bit more about the song with Raindrops Falling on My Head. What is the premise for it in the way, based on the movie, but kind of explain more of the thought process of what it's trying to tell, the story?
Well, you know, in the movie, of course, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid are outlaws, and they're always being chased by the Pinkerton people. And they hook up in New York City with Etta Chase, who is she was a woman I guess both of them were in love with. And at the time of the Raindrops song, they are not being chased, and they found a farmhouse and a place where they can have a little peace and not be on the run. And Butch Cassidy is giving Etta Chase a ride on a bicycle, the song Raindrops plays, and it's about hey, the rain may fall on your head, and it's going to fall on everyone's head, but if you're free, you don't have that big a worry, you know. So that's basically what it was about. And then, of course, Bacharach and David, they kind of created that whole scenario where of the great movie songs. Of course, there was Mancini and other people, but Bacharach and David, I think, made it a situation where there were really some great songs in the movies, and not just something worded about the characters, you know.
Wow, what luck. Or maybe you were just blessed being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, I kind of was. I was with Scepter Records, and Mr. Bacharach was a big part of Scepter Records. He was part owner, and their mainstay artist was Dionne Warwick. And, of course, Bacharach and David wrote and produced most of her classic hit records. And, you know, I had seen him at the office in New York, and I saw how cool he was and how handsome and charming. And I thought I was just always in awe of this guy. And so to get to work with him was incredible. And it had a lot of iffy moments. Everything turned out perfect with Raindrops, even though I had an acute case of laryngitis when we recorded the bicycle scene, and I barely was able to sing it. Like, I think we sang it through four or five times. But Bert, he never mentioned my throat that I did. He liked the way it sounded, so it worked out pretty good.
Now, interesting, DJ, when you talk about, you know, the song, but you had 5 Grammys, so... Your fans, talk a little bit about them. I mean, the 5 Grammys, how awesome it was. So it's not just, you're not just a one hit wonder. Just bringing this up for people that, you know, that are young, because I have a young hip audience, different things, not just, you know, that kind of question really wants to come out. It's like, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm one of those artists. I'm not the kind of guy who's always looking for the spotlight. I'm not trying to be the number one guy in the world. I love to do music, but, you know, just chasing the fame and always, you know, chasing that thing was something I got tired of years ago. And I semi-retired in 1976 and cut my schedule way back. And, we had 3 kids. We had 2 kids after that. And, you know, that my family has been you know, my essence, but I've had a lot of hit records. I've been very lucky with that. And then coming out of my kind of semi-retirement period, I cut a gospel album. And I had been, for years, I had drug and alcohol problems. And so when we stopped working, it was that was a big reason why. And during that time off, I kind of came to my senses, and I woke up anyway, I made a gospel record, and it became the first platinum record in gospel history. And I actually had the first four platinum records in gospel history, and that's what I got my Grammys for. And you know, if you're not into gospel, then you don't even know it's there. So I had no idea there was even that industry there. And then I came back to real music in the early 80s, and I had a few number one country records, and I've had a good career. I've been very lucky. I worked with some of the great writers of my generation, Barry Mann and Cynthia Weil, who wrote You've Lost That Loving Feeling, and they wrote Just Can't Help Believing, a rock and roll lullaby for me. And of course, I worked with Burt Bacharach and Hal David, and Mark James, the guy that wrote Suspicious Minds, wrote Hooked on a Feeling for me. So I've been lucky. I'm worth just Google me, you know.
what an amazing career. How fortunate you are. How do you stay married to the same woman for how many years?
52 years. Well, wow. I think the question is, how does she stay? How did she stay with me? Because I put her through hell. I tell you, there were years that I was pretty. My life was pretty tough. But you know, she always. We never gave up on each other. We're still in love, and she helped me see myself for who I really was, and you know, we survived all that, and we're still together, huh?
Stand by your man. How has faith played a part in, you know, your recovery and your marriage and your life?
Yeah, we do have a faith. You know, I think we all need a faith in something. You know, we're not religious people. You know, I'm not, never could really make religion work for me, and I'm not sure religion really works, but it does for some people. But you know, I kind of go by the golden rule. I mean, I try to treat people the way I'd like for them to treat me, and I try to live by that principle.
How important was it, your wife being by your side to overcome drugs and alcohol?
Well, it was really, really the most important thing. And we had been separated a few times, and you know, it got too much for both of us, a time or two. But she you know, she basically had a spiritual awakening, and she helped me have the same awakening to wow. The fact that the you know, the spiritual essence of everything is the only meaning that it really has. And so we love the music. But that's, I can't just live off of record sales. And, so she was a big part of that, and, I owe her everything.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So you're celebrating 50 years of music, 50 years of marriage. What a life. How you feeling? You in good health?
I'm feeling really good. Yeah. I'm in great health. I mean, I know we're caught in this crazy thing here, but, we're having to, you know, try to concentrate. And go by the rules and get through that. But, you know, I've had a great life. I've always, you know, I'll probably pass away next week, but I've always been in good shape, and I feel good. You know, I keep my head up, and that's what I recommend for people, is to keep your head up even when it gets tough. And, you know, this thing we're going through now is crazy, but we'll get through it like we always do.
How tough
if we follow some rules?
You know? How tough is it for you for performing, not being able to perform in front of a crowd?
Well, it is kind of tough, and I kind of really stress on my band, and along with worrying about my family and staying healthy. But you know, along with the burning desire you have to do music, it's the only way you can do it is if you're just totally all in on it. I really miss the road. I've been on the road, you know, since I was 15, and so I'm really looking forward to getting back to that when it's safe for everyone.
Yeah, I'm curious how this all started. I mean, how young were you when you picked up a guitar or an instrument, or you started singing, and how did it all start?
Well, we got, you know, they tell me I've always been a singer ever since I was an infant, you know, very young, that I always was singing. But a group of my buddies, my brother's friends, I really didn't know them until I went to the first little rehearsal. We were all 15 years old, and we got a band together called the Triumphs. And, you know, we just dreamed of having a hit record one day, and we knew we never were going to have one. But we just wanted to do that music, have that rock and roll band. And that's how it got started. I was fortunate enough to meet Bobby Bland when I was a very young kid. And he was like a mentor to me. I loved him. And we just, started playing. We played out in the Boondocks. We played big dances, teenage dances. And we were too young to play nightclubs and things like that. So we always just played the big Boondock dances out there in the country.
And, who were your heroes? Who were you listening to back in those days?
My hero was a guy named Roy Head. He had a record called Treat Her Right back in the day. I want to tell you a story. Dun, 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 dun. Every man ought to know. I don't know if you remember that.
He's
one of my best friends, but he was a big hero of mine, along with Bobby Bland and Jackie Wilson was maybe my biggest inspiration. And, you know, I had a lot of guys I looked up to.
So that's very interesting, looking at the people you looked up to, all those different things. But you brought up a big break. You met the right person, right time. Is that part of life in a lot of ways, is just being open to opportunity? And not a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you keep your, you know, I've just always been the kind of, I've had my moments, but good things happen if you're in the moment and you keep your head up. I met Gloria when she was 17, and we got married when she turned 18. And that was always a good thing for me. A big moment for me was I was about 13 years old, something like that, and I heard a Jackie Wilson record, a song called To Be Loved. And it was such an emotional song. It opened my mind to the way that music could be so expressive and could be so emotional and important in how you felt. And he sounded like he believed everything he was singing. And so that I purposed it. At a very young age to mean what I was singing and not just sing something for any other reason that I connected with it personally. And I kind of stood by that criteria most of my career. So
that's great.
Yeah. You know, BJ, the industry has changed so much. The old rules don't apply anymore. What advice do you give to new musicians who are thinking about jumping in?
Yeah. Well, I think keep it personal. You know, if you're a songwriter, write about yourself and what you're doing and what you feel, and then you don't ever have to try to get an idea anywhere else. You already have your own perspective, and I think it's very important. And I was very fortunate that this happened to me, that I got in a band when I was 15. If you're just starting and you want to be a singer or a writer or something, performer, try to get in a band, because then you learn how to hold your end up, and you learn what it's like to be in a band, and you learn what it's like to be in front of people. Those two things will keep it personal, and that'll take you a long way.
that's good advice.
Now, Dave has a final question, and it's involving caregiving. So, Dave, go ahead and ask that question.
Yeah, you know, I was just a normal guy for many, many years. And then one day my wife complains about a headache, turns into a stroke, loses her speech, becomes paralyzed on one side. And we struggled for a couple of years, but we hung in there. And now we help other caregivers, you know, survive, because many of them, 30% die before their loved ones do. Yeah. I wrote this book, and just trying to help people, you know, not die, not stay out of the hospital. I believe everyone is either going to become a caregiver or going to need a caregiver.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I started this website, caregiverdave.com, just to help caregivers to thrive and not just survive caregiving. How has it touched your life? You know, you have family members, parents, grandparents.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, we're all getting up. Absolutely. I mean, there's always a time that will come earlier. Years ago, so 15, 20 years ago, I kind of became a caretaker for my brother, Jerry, who had been a polio victim when he was young, but he survived it. But then, he got polio syndrome and he had certain surgeries. And he lived with me for a few years. And I found out what it was like to care for somebody in that way. And it's not easy. You have to love someone to kind of give them the care that they need. My wife has just had the bypass surgery last year. And so it was important for me to be there for her and to take care of her and look after her. So, it comes up in your life. I'm sorry to hear about your wife, but that those things happen. And believe me, you really were rewarded for being there for somebody in that capacity. It's very meaningful. Yeah.
Yes. Now, she's doing great.
Yeah, she's still doing great, and they're traveling the country together. So it's a tremendous story.
Oh, great. Yeah, beautiful. So,
yeah. BJ, I'll have to check that out. Great story.
I will.
Now, projects for you, BJ. What are the newest projects? You talk about celebrating raindrops keep falling on our head, but what else? Anything else?
Well, as I probably mentioned it, I had a session scheduled for the middle of July for a Muscle Shoals, Alabama, and Dan Penn and Billy Lawson, great songwriters. We were going in the studio and record and make some new music, and so that's the next project. I'm really looking forward to doing. I'm going to go do my one nighters and be with my band and things, but I'm really looking forward to going in. We've got some really good songs, and that's going to be fun. We had to, of course, reschedule it, but we're all in on it as soon as it's safe to get out there. Okay. Yeah.
BJ,
great.
Again, we wanted to thank you again for being on the show. I wanted to say, how are you celebrating, BJ? Raindrops keep falling on our head with the anniversary and stuff.
Man, I'm always celebrating, but I'm not nothing big, nothing big. We're just, we're enjoying being together. We've had some really good times, even though we've been quarantined. So we don't have any really big plans, but I'm pretty sure that when I go back to performing, that we'll all be involved in celebrating the song again. But right now we're dealing with staying healthy.
Exactly. And do you have a website, BJ?
Yes, bjthomas.com, bjthomas.com. And then we've got Facebook is
BBJ Thomas.
Facebook is the BJ Thomas, and Instagram is the same. So,
all right. Well, fabulous. Thanks for stopping by. And no way you can get you a little bit of the note of raindrops keep falling on our head. Could you give us a?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Raindrops are falling on my head. And just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems to fit. Those raindrops are falling on my head and they keep falling. Blah, 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 blah.
All right. That was awesome. All right, BJ.
Yeah, Dave.
All right, Dave. All right, guys. That was the Neil Haley Show, guys. Take care. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, brother.